It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million,
we wouldn't have to walk to the store.
If I had $1 million,
I wouldn't take a limousine because it costs.
If I had $1 million, I'd burn Brian's money. Right?
Wouldn't be much to burn.
No, not Brian DeVincenzi.
Oh, other Brian. I got you.
That's the lead-in music for Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Brian will be on just at the bottom of the hour because we have a very, very special guest and a very good friend of Radio Central here in the studio. Brian DeVincenzi.
That'd be me. Good morning, everybody.
Or in Italian, DeVincenzi.
DeVincenzi.
Oh, Cenzi.
Yeah,
right.
That's it, yeah.
DeVincenzi.
I'm American.
Yeah,
DeVincenzi.
Right. Like Biasucci.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. All right. He's the chief operations officer for Route 66 Street Drags.
Doing the Kingman Street Drags once again here this next weekend, May 19th, 20th, and 21st in Kingman.
And the only reason you're not on next Thursday, when I had an hour available.
Wish we could have.
Which means Brian Springberg will not be here next Thursday. Yeah, you're still moving K-Rail and, or hopefully it's moved into place.
Exactly. By then, you know, best case scenario, Paul, It's all in place, and we could do this. But, man, that best case scenario doesn't always come around.
Right. So this actually starts Friday at noon.
We start racing. Yep.
What kind of team is in place to put on a production like this? On Route 66 from, what, one cop shop to the other?
We shut down a mile, a physical mile in length of the real Route 66, and the start of it, literally, when you're standing on the start line, point over your left shoulder, it's to the front door to Kingman Police Department. Now, you drive down the track, get to the end of it, drive out of the K-Rails, go back to your pits, you drive out in front of the Highway Patrol Department.
Nice.
On top of the fact that the Celebrity Challenge on Saturday is going to have the mayors, the police chiefs, the head of DPS, the head of the Sheriff's Department, all competing with each other because the Sheriff's Department holds the trophy from 2 years ago. They are the existing Celebrity Challenge champion, and trust me, they're claiming that trophy's not going anywhere.
Very good.
We're going to have the mayors from Havasu, Bullhead, and Kingman, the police chiefs from Havasu, Bullhead, and Kingman, out there in two EV cars supplied by Martin Swanee Chrysler.
Wait, what?
EV cars. As electric.
Yeah, do they have the sound effects generating from the engine?
I'm going to put a boombox out there on the start line so it sounds right, you know.
You know, you should have done a media category and put Greeley behind the wheel of one of those.
You know,
he
there's
loves
something to think about.
That stuff.
Well, he'll bring out his hot rods.
Oh, okay.
That might take a few minutes to get down the track.
You mean the Sears
exactly.
Kit car?
I love it. I love that thing. Absolutely love that thing.
Right.
Would that look cool going down the track or what?
13 miles per hour?
Exactly. That's why I said it might take a little while. But
yeah.
You put a nice show on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, no, I'm serious. You should have a media category. Not for myself. But get the Greeley against Murphy.
Absolutely. Oh, Lindsay over at Jack FM. She'd love it. She loves you guys too.
Oh, Lindley. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Sure.
I could see that.
So tell me about the event. The sponsors.
Let's start from the top because it takes and I just want to say this to everybody in Mojave County. If it wasn't for these sponsors, and I don't care if they're sponsors of my event or all the events, guys, we wouldn't have these events. Remember that. Give them the business. Give them the props. Make sure you tell them thank you for doing all this stuff, because they're what make it so we can have all this kind of stuff. And mine specifically, I'm over 20 years now with Napa as our title sponsor. Napa is just the best company in the world to work with, okay? I've got Ron Capps in the NHRA that's sponsored by Napa, and Ron gave us notification that the Kingman Street Drags is in on his bucket list. He will be to this event sometime. It's a big deal to have people like that involved. I've got Bob Mertens, Mertens Heavy Equipment, and new Mertens Bobcat division. I've got Preston Investment, Scott Preston. These are businesses that have been in this town for, I've lived there 35 years, Paul.
Right.
These people have been there all along. And they support Junior Rodeo. They support Kiwanis Clubs.
4-H.
Everything.
Yeah.
They are the backbone of our community. Mm-hmm. So, huge props out to these people. Obviously, Martin Swanee, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Kia.
Cody's a big sponsor.
Cody is, right. he's a motorhead.
Yeah.
Cody
really is.
The off-road racing and everything they do. I've heard a rumor, and I'm going to say it this way because it's actually a rumor at the moment, but I think Robbie Gordon is going to be at the Street Drags as a guest of Cody's.
Mm.
We'll see if that transpires. And you just go on from there. I've got Hot Rod House of Power out of Chicago, Illinois, sponsoring my Big Tire class. Big Tire class works like this, folks. You guys have all seen Street Laws on television. Well, here's the deal. The guys come in, they register for the event. Then they all get in a group, and they have what's called a buy-in. They put physical money, and this one's stout, guys. It's $500. They put the buy-in into a pool that's their own. It doesn't belong to the event. And winner takes all.
Oh.
So, put 10 cars out there at a $500 buy-in, that's $5,000. I put $2,500 on that. That's $7,500. That's some money.
Yeah, it is.
And it can get a lot bigger. So these guys are going to put on a heck of a show. We've got the NA10-5 class out of California coming in.
What's NA10?
Naturally aspirated, meaning no power adders, no nitrous, no turbos, no blowers. All motor. It's old school guys. But these cars are wound so tight, they yank the front wheels in the air. These guys race
you got
side
wheelie
by side.
Bars?
Oh, big time.
All right.
This is going to be a heck of a show.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got eight other classes that from Unlimited all the way down to Pier Street. The cool thing about this year, Paul, no one has ever done before. We're going to crown national street drag champions.
Oh, really?
The 11 trophies we get out will call you a national street. Every track in the world has championships.
So this is a sanctioned event?
It's not sanctioned.
It's not sanctioned.
No. When you say sanctioned, that means the NHRA would come in and put their.
So what does that mean, the national street drag champion?
Nobody puts a championship out for a race held on the street.
Oh.
Part of that is because 99% of them are not legal. We, being the largest legal street drags in the world, can do this.
Now, is that because of the surface itself? Because drag racing normally takes place on a drag racing track,
yes,
with a certain surface,
yes,
that's formulated a certain way for the asphalt and that. But you're driving on a natural
66.
Street.
Absolutely.
Right. Is that why?
No, it's just a matter of the fact that we're doing this legally. We can go about advertising we're going to crown champions. The guys that go out and do it on Saturday night are hoping the popo doesn't show up. They don't really want to advertise all this out there.
Saturday night is generous. It's normally like Sunday morning at 2 a.m.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, right.
You're exactly right. But, you know, that is the largest growing section of the drag racing world today. And I kind of float in the middle. I'm not a track, and I'm not pure street racing. But I give these guys a place to do it. And I think it's going to be fun to be able to crown champions.
So I went back in the day when it was right there in front of what's now Lee Williams High School.
Yep.
And that, and what an event. I mean, it's like, it's just a magnet for people to show up and browse. And, you know, you're not just stuck to a chair with your butt in the chair for 4 hours. You can get out. You can look at the cars. You can talk to the drivers in that. But tell me about what reminded me of that was the safety factor, because you are dealing with a lot of horsepower, high speeds, and spectators.
Yes.
Tell me about the safety regulations.
Well, that's what we do that normal street drags wouldn't have. We put the K-rail in. I have a safety safari team.
Now, when we say K-rail, we're talking about the concrete
barriers that you see on the freeways when construction's going in.
Right.
Keeps the cars within the lanes. I've got fire. Well, obviously, I've got a fire and safety safari team that handles the Baja 1000. These guys are the experts. They're on site to take care of everything. But you're right. Cars that are coming, guys. I'm going to say some numbers. You all think I'm just blowing smoke. But we have 3,000 to 4,000 horsepower cars that are racing on the street.
Wow.
We have a record of 4.82 seconds that was set last year. That carried out to the quarter mile is 7.7 seconds at 180 miles an hour on a street.
180.
Yeah. And that was done on a street that 3 days before was virgin, meaning it didn't have all the traction compounded and stuff on it. This is impressive what these guys are doing.
What's the actual length of the drag race itself?
We're racing an eighth mile, which is 660 feet. That's half of a quarter
mile. Half a quarter, sure.
Right. The reason we do that is because you have to have double your race distances shut down. We're taking 3/4 of a mile to run on the street.
Are we talking parachutes, too?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Wheelie bars, parachutes. Last year... And I say this because we had, for the first time, we had oil downs, which extended our schedule beyond where we're supposed to. We're supposed to be done by 4 on Sunday. At 6:30, when the last two cars ran, nobody knows this because nobody was left there, baddest race I've ever seen. Two cars had their wheels in the air, flames out the headers, and they were 1/1000ths of a second apart.
At the end?
At the end.
Holy cow.
It was so impressive.
Right?
I wish the whole world could have seen
it. Do you remember what class that was?
Yeah, big tire.
Big tire
for the
class.
Big money.
So you have big tire, small tire shootout.
Yep.
Is that one against the other? Or
no, big tire.
That's each.
Big tire is its own class,
okay.
Basically what it says. Big tire, better bring as much as you can.
Okay.
Small tire is a 28-10-5 tire. Nothing bigger than that. What that means is these guys can have as much horsepower as the big tire guys, but they're putting it through a small tire. And the small tire on the street is the determining factor. These guys are real skilled at this.
What kind of infrastructure are we talking about? And we're talking about DSM helping you out, correct?
Well, absolutely.
Jim Russell.
Jim Russell. He's there. He puts in all our communication systems, all our sound system for the audience to have everything. He's got our race operations in his semi-trailer. This is a monumental task. I've got Copper Canyon Communications going to be in this year, making sure we have perfect Wi-Fi for the entire system. We put it in a complete NHRA timing system. We put the K-rails in. I bring in 16 light plants to light the place up. We've got 5,000 seats of grandstands going in. We try to build a drag race facility out of Route 66. I've told everybody for years, Paul, this is going to happen. We need to put a GoPro camera up on one of the light poles,
right,
and watch what Route 66 turns into and then goes back to when we're all done. That whole sequence of build the facility and then it all goes away because people don't believe it.
Like a time lapse.
Wednesday morning, you know, 2 weeks from now, you're not even going to – well, the black marks are still on the street from 2 years ago, so they're not going away.
So this is traditionally an economically based show. We talk about stock market investments, that sort of thing. What kind of economic impact do you think you have on the city of Kingman for this event?
I've been told $4 to $5 million.
Really?
The formula that exists, I don't have access to. The tools to put in place are not in place in Kingman to tell us exactly what the impact is on the hotels, because as everybody knows, Kingman just fills the hotels every night. But what you see happen, what the city sees happen, the fact you can drive down Stockton Hill Road and there's nobody on Stockton Hill Road, that's unheard of.
Yeah, right.
You go over and you see the Saturday night, and I challenge you with this, Saturday night at 4 o'clock, stand there and turn around and look at the whole thing. Look what the grandstands look like. Look what Vendor Row looks like. The place will be standing room only.
I'm just glad I'm driving to Seligman this week and not next.
Very true.
That would be a rough haul because I'm taking Route 66. There's no way I'm
You're
using I-40 right now.
You're good this week.
I-40 is kind of rough from what I hear.
Stay in the fast lane.
Yeah? Is that it?
That's the trick. That's where everybody else is too, though.
So by request, Brian wanted some... He wanted Five Finger Death Punch, but I'm going to play the original by Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
I love the song any way you put it on.
Absolutely. A little blue on black for Brian Devincenzi. And, of course, he's Chief Operations Officer for Route 66 Street Drags. We're going to come back with ticket information, the website, and the lack of swag that I have in my hand.
Oh, I blew it there.
But we'll be giving away tickets probably next week. We'll give away some tickets that you can pick up at Will Call. And we'll be back with more. Everything you wanted to know about Kingman Route 66 Street Drags when we come back. Stay with us on Speak Out. Can't be undone. That was an excellent choice, by the way, this song. But I love Kenny Wayne Shepherd, so I'm going to play more. I think we'll just feature it in this hour. And, Brian, if you're listening, you're just going to have to deal with it when you come in.
I'm good with all that.
I think he likes Kenny Wayne anyway.
Well, who doesn't?
Right.
I haven't met anybody who doesn't.
Springberg is a big lover of the blues. So, yeah, this is like contemporary blues, right?
Exactly.
Like a Zito or some of the other guys out there. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT, also online at lesolson.com/Kingman, and our newest sponsor, The Chair, Havasu-style dining, great music with live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. It's The Chair. And as I showed Brian earlier in the green room, you can stream live, and our show archives are at kntrtalk.com. Don't lose that business card, by the way, because the show will be posted like right after the show's over. And then on the Lake Havasu City app, of course, available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. So let's see. Do I even want to get into what you're jotting down there?
Oh, I'm just looking at our poster and discussing with myself the prices for all the folks who want to come watch this thing. Folks, this weekend is $20 per day for adults. It's children 6 and under are free. We have a $55 weekend pass. We have reserved seating set up. Those will be $45 a day, and it'll be the one section set up with the best view down the track. So anybody who's got those tickets, you guys are going to get great stuff. Those of you that want to enjoy the event with some style, we have the hospitality suite. Ooh. $225 for all 3 days of the weekend. You get fed, you get drinks, you get pampered.
That's a really good deal.
I'm telling you, there are a lot of people. For 3 days.
And food included, and drink. That's a
on top of
deal.
Hooch's Bar and Grill is doing Saturday night's steak and lobster.
You got Mike doing the barbecue?
Mike's doing the barbecue. Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They spoil these guys.
The Thorntons are awesome.
The folks are awesome.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely awesome. And they jumped on board again. Mike's trying to get himself out of the business, but he's not being real successful.
He's told me that, too. Right. So tell me about the tickets. How do you get them online?
Tickets, you can get the 3-day pass or the hospitality suite online. That's the only two that are available online. Everything else will be available at the gate starting Friday.
Okay, and that's $20 per day?
$20 per day for general admission, or you can do a $55 for the weekend pass. And then, like I said, reserve seating. Reserve seating is extremely popular this year. Won't surprise me to see that full.
How are the grandstands organized? Is it on one side or both sides?
They're on both sides.
Okay.
The ones on the west side are actually professionally built, and they're raised. I don't know how to describe it to you any other way.
Right. Okay.
But there'll be approximately 5,000 seats of seating.
Woo.
There's place for guys to stand down. Look, when I go to the drag race, I stand on the fence. I'm one of those guys. So I've got a place where the raised grandstands are. Guys can stand on the fence. It's not a problem. You're not standing at a bunch of people. You're not getting bitched at. You can lean on the chain link and watch and get the smoke and rubber on you.
Is that what the cops do after their shift?
I'll
come over and check it out.
They cheat. They walk right up to the start line.
They do. And you really can, folks. It's actually pretty cool. The tree's right there, too, right?
It is. I describe this to you guys, and until you see this, you will not understand what I'm saying. You can stand on the start line and turn over your left shoulder and point your finger at the front door to Kingman's Police Department. Now, Saturday at
Say
noon.
Say hi to Rusty.
Exactly. Saturday at noon, whoever Rusty puts in the car is going to be standing there next to me, seeing if he can beat whoever lines up
it's
next
gonna
to him.
It's going to be Rusty himself.
We'll see. I'll tell you what. It's getting to the point where there's a little competition at who wants to be in these
I
cars.
Oh, I bet they have bragging rights.
Yeah.
You bet.
And the sheriff took down DPS last time. Trust me, there's going to be some.
You've seen Super Troopers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Highway Patrol versus the city guys?
These guys are getting more serious about it. And that's good. Because they're showing the public.
I got you.
This can be done right. It can be done the proper way. And it can be a blast.
So, all right. Again, it's KingmanRT66StreetDrags.com. It's also on our community calendar. Has been for a couple weeks.
Yep.
And general admission, $20 per day, or reserve seating for $45. And it still gives you roaming rights, too.
Well, the nice thing about reserve seating, it's simple. Here's logistics. You want a beer? you can get up and
you
go
think?
Get a beer, and your seat is actually there when you come back. Now, general admission, I'm not going to guarantee that seat's going to be there when you come back these people pack it in pretty good.
Yeah, right.
So if you want that seat to be there, if you want to be able to maybe go home, pick up the missus, and come back after lunch, it's the place to go.
Okay, before I bring in Springberg to give me the gloom and doom on the market today, tell me the hours and the days for next week and the racing.
Start on Friday. We'll start racing at noon. We'll finish at 9 p.m. On Saturday, we'll start racing at 9 a.m. We'll finish at 10 p.m. On Sunday, we'll start racing at 9 a.m. with all the finals, and we'll finish at 4. We'll have the award ceremony at 4:30.
Well, you think the night glow is cool at the Balloon Fest? The glow from the exhaust at 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night is pretty cool as well.
Header flames.
He's not here? Okay, well, he'll be here. He always rolls in late. I don't worry about
Brian. Yeah. We've got it covered.
So, yeah, Junior just stuck her head in the door and was telling me Brian's not here. But I'll send him a text. It's not, no worries.
Well, I appreciate you being here, Paul. You guys, Steve and Tracy here at Radio Central, you guys have always been a partner to us, more so than people even realize. You are part of that group of what I say. Without you, the communities couldn't be what they are.
Wow. Thank you very much.
That's just a
very
truth,
nice
brother.
Compliment. Again, it's KingmanRT66StreetDrags.com. You're going to get us the info so we can give out some...
going to have you tickets that be given away next week.
Have Will Call tickets.
Absolutely.
Right. Any, you want to tell anybody what kind of tickets they're going to be? Are they going to be general admission?
General admission tickets, yes.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. All right, Brian, always good to see you.
Appreciate it, Paul.
Little Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Lie to Me.
Oh, I love it.
As we go to break. And, again, I'm Paul Lavoie along with Brian Devincenzi. He is the Chief Operations Officer for Route 66 Street Drags, which is the governing body of the Kingman Route 66
there
Street
it is.
Drags. All right, perfect. Brian, always good to see you.
Thank you again.
Best of health to you.
Appreciate that very much.
All right, back in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We'll see if the late Brian Springberg comes sliding in, right? Back with more in a moment.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. Sage Point Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of Sage Point Financial.
Don't wanna want you like I do. Don't wanna want you, baby. Watch you play me like a fool. I've seen the guts out of love before.
So I stand corrected. And, Brian, last break, I went into the break with Johnny Lang. It was not Kenny Wayne Shepherd. But they are similar.
I like Johnny Lang.
Yeah, it's the song Lie to Me by Johnny Lang. I didn't even think about it, even though it's right there in front of me on Spotify. So this is Dark Side of Love by Kenny Wayne Shepherd. So Brian calling in from an undisclosed location. He's in a bunker in another state. So that's how we're going to do sound advice today. And I'm going to remind everybody, Brian, Speak Out brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, Doritos Place, providing Havasu with all natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006, and featuring self-service doggy washes, and by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state for over 52 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Brian. And I heard some grumblings earlier about the market being down about 250 points. The Dow was down, that is.
Yeah, currently the Dow down about 0.83%, or as a number about 280 points. The S&P 500 down about 0.3%. The Nasdaq actually very slightly positive today. So a little bit all over the map. While the Dow is still, and the S&P 500 is still up, certainly from its lows that we've seen, they have come off of the recent highs where we saw the Dow awfully close to pushing 34,000, currently at 33,251. And that is just, you know, primarily because of ongoing recession concerns and banking system instability and just the general feeling that the economy is in fact slowing, and therefore as that happens, people are going to be watching their pocketbooks a little bit closer, and as spending goes down, so will corporate earnings and stock prices. And so the market's busy always trying to price in what it thinks is going to be happening, which is a difficult proposition. And then you can throw in, of course, a little bit of, ongoing just unease with Ukraine. And then the latest temporary but nevertheless potentially volatile issue in the short term is the debt ceiling fight.
Yes.
That we go through every single year, right? Like, this is just the perennial, sandbox match between whatever party is holding the presidency and whatever party is holding the House /Senate. And so it is complicated, because what happens is that you've got the more conservative parts of both the Democratic and Republican parties fighting the other members of their party to even come to an agreement of what they want out of the agreement for the debt, ceiling. And then on top of that, eventually the Republicans and the Democrats have to come to some kind of an agreement with each other. And currently, of course, the Democrats also coming in line with the current president. So every time this happens, it causes great unease. In my lifetime, in my experience, it has been settled every time in different ways, but it did cause varying levels of volatility in the stock market. You know, sometimes they say, hey, we're going to agree to raise the debt ceiling for a month while we continue to, you know, duke it out.
Right.
And then at times it's, you know, they, you know, 6 months, or they, you know, they kick the can down the road, like they pretty much do everything when it comes to funding. So, but right now that is, you know, most certainly a short-term concern. Historically, it has not been a long-term concern. So for those of you who do have very conservative positions and have the risk tolerance and time frame to wait it out, you may be getting an additional buying opportunity to consider if, in fact, that's what we see. But don't discount the fact that there are other things coming. Right now, most, I would say, objective economists are saying there's maybe a 50 to 60% chance of a legitimate recession, you know, coming our way. And that means that eventually, you know, we will see the things that have been very strong soften some, including, of course, the labor market. We did see inflation come down some, and the market did embrace that a little bit just the other day, that the inflationary measure that we've been using the whole time in this past year and a half or so is now starting to read under 5%. And so that gave the market some heart that the Federal Reserve is definitely going to put a pause on raising interest rates. And again, combined with the banking system instability in mid-size and small banks, I think definitely a pause is in order, because we definitely don't want to push too far and then find that we're going to have a battle to get back into a more stable economy. So that's kind of where we are at now in terms of economic standards. Expect the economy to soften is, I guess, my line. Whether it is a technical correction or not, you know, who cares? I'm always somebody who never understood the need for everybody to attach a label to anything to define as it as good or bad. In other words, you can call something anything you want, but independent of that, it may be something different. And I think the best example always is what they call these bills they try to get through Congress, because oftentimes what they call them is the exact opposite of what it does. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you got to be a little careful. So don't get too caught up in, oh my God, it's the end of the world, we're going into a recession, or oh my God, we're not in a recession. That doesn't change the fact that the stock market could be having volatility and that your business could be going down and other things could be coming in, whether you define it personally, technically, as one thing or another. It's definitely something to kind of continue to pay attention to.
Hey, Brian, I heard some news this morning on the wholesale price index, and it was actually positive news. Is that going to have a bearing here in the short term or long term?
You just mean that prices are starting to go down?
Yeah, it was a tick or two, but I mean, it wasn't anything major, but it was still down from the same time last year, the same month last year. So I'm sure you read up on that as well. What is your forecast for, or what does that mean to the markets?
Well, it's just another reading or measure that the Federal Reserve will use to decide whether or not to continue to raise interest rates, because their whole goal is to get negative growth in terms of some of these measures to indicate that they're having an effect on inflation. And so the fact that that in fact happened is one of the things that I'm talking about as to why more than likely the Fed's going to be on a pause for some time and may eventually, depending upon what happens in the economy, start lowering interest rates end of the year, beginning of next year, or at some point where they have to, because now the economy doesn't need to be slowed down. The economy needs to be sped up, so they're going to try to stimulate it by lowering interest rates.
You know, ironically, there's all this partisanship in Washington, but now you have in Arizona itself, you have the Senate reached an agreement on a budget. You have the House last night in Arizona reached an agreement on the budget, and it looks like Governor Hobbs could sign a budget at any time from now until, who knows, 5 days from now. So, I mean, it's just too bad it's not that way in Washington. It seems like they've reached some sort of bipartisanship here in Arizona now, though.
Yeah, no, for sure, although I don't know the current representation of Democrats to Republicans.
It's 50-50.
In the House and Senate?
Yes. It's like a one person difference in each in each chamber. Yes.
Right. Well, then, you know, then I guess it's possible. And that's why a lot of the times, Paul, we talk about trying to accomplish things at smaller, you know, at the smaller levels. Like, we can get a whole lot more done for our citizens at the city level, at the county level, at the state level. And so focusing sometimes on that is what becomes important, and that eventually, if enough states kind of go down that same path, then maybe some movement can happen at the federal level. But yeah, they seem to operate in their own universe, it definitely feels like, at times in Washington. From both sides of the aisle, you're just kind of like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
And obviously, the push and pull of lobbyists is at an extremely different level. You know, the people who are lobbying, on the state level versus the, you know, countries and global powerhouse corporations, you're talking about the difference of babes and giants in terms of that. So the influence of money at the federal level is drastically worse, more, I don't know, however you want to define it, but it is definitely so much more that what we find is, unfortunately, a lot of the things that the American public agrees on, both Democrats and Republicans, still don't ever happen. And I bring that up on the show periodically. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll pull Republicans, Democrats, and find various issues. And, you know, the country's at 60, 70, 80% agreement on certain things that don't actually go into law. And it's just mind-blowing. You know, campaign finance reform. Who doesn't want less money in politics other than the politicians?
Right.
Yet, guess what you don't see? And somehow they snow everybody enough to get away with it. And that continues. And if you don't think that that's one of the biggest problems, then, you know, you're probably writing one of the checks. I mean, I don't know.
And with about 5 minutes left until the break, just wanted to throw that out to you. I think one of the other frustrations that voters have is, I'm electing this person to make $200,000 a year. Why are they worth $2 million?
Or $20 million.
Yeah, or exactly. $2 million's nothing these days for a politician in Washington.
Yeah. No, there's no question. Again, it's both sides of the aisle. It's you know, equally pervasive and discouraging and upsetting. And again, you've got law. The Supreme Court legitimized it.
Yes.
In the Citizens United decision not too long ago, where they said that corporations are people and therefore, you know, unlimited contributions can go to candidates and causes. And, you know, I was fired up the day it happened, and I'm still mad about it. And it's definitely in, it basically took what was done in the shadows illegally and said, yeah, just go ahead and do it. It's fine. And so now, we're getting what we voted for and what we wish for. Or I guess what we are complacent about, enough. So in other things though that are kind of going on, is that, real estate, definitely is not dropping consistently to a great extent, but it is dropping a little bit. Sales of existing homes, slid during the opening to kind of selling season, the spring, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
March existing home sales fell 2.4% versus the previous month of February. And so it's not like it's falling off a cliff, but definitely we're seeing that. And they've fallen 13 of the last 14 months. Now, again, it had to fall, right, because it was so out of control before. So don't put too much credence into, oh, gosh, it's fallen 13 of the last 14 months because it was so outrageous. But what we are looking at is the last, you know, really 4 months, 5 months, that trend is continuing. And I think it's going to continue and get even more pronounced as we get into the third and fourth quarter of this year. So expect some softening. How bad it's going to get is anybody's guess. And as I always give the disclaimer, barring any unforeseen circumstances, the expectation is that we do have somewhat of a shallow recession, meaning we don't grow, but it's not all that terrible. But, man, there is opportunity out there. If you've got young kids and they show any ability in math, college has become a little bit more of a question mark as far as a pursuit because the cost has become so outrageous and technology has gotten to the point to where you can do quite well if you understand technology even without a college degree or if you get into a specialized field.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you a field that you do want one, a degree in, and that's electrical engineering. Because, you know, what's happening is that the United States has been doing the right thing in terms of pushing hard. You know, federal money, the administration is, you know, the current administration is funding a lot of money into homegrown, you know, U.S.-based semiconductor manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, what? We don't get anybody to work there.
Right.
We have a skilled worker deficit. And so we can throw all the money in the world into getting these built, and it's hard to do. So a lot of times what happens is we bring a lot of, you know, there's a ton of international students that come to study And there's a pretty big emphasis on engineering, from the, East India and, Asian countries. That is, without a doubt, a big emphasis. But the way our laws work here, understandably on some level, is that it's very difficult for them to obtain resident status, permanent resident status, because if you're building semiconductors, then you might be in some kind of, security sensitive sector or, some kind of military related industry. And so they want to be very careful about, well, who are we educating? Who are we letting be educated and then work here? And who do they actually, represent, and what concerns are they after? But by not letting those people who, on the whole, I would assume most of them would just want to work and make a bunch of money in the United States, and that's their focus. We don't, we're not letting them in either. So that is, again, understandable that we have to be very cautious about that. But it is a hurdle, nonetheless. And so if your kid or your grandkid shows any ability in math,
right?
It's not like technology is going to become less of a part of our society as time goes by. But it is interesting, though. I mean, can you imagine that? And that's been the case even locally. And look at our county. How many businesses say, if I had more employees, I would be making more money? And I am only limited in my financial success for my company that I work my butt off at only because I can't find enough qualified people to work there. Well, what I'm referring to is on a national scale,
sure.
Which is a very real issue. So, again, why aren't we hearing one of the top two or three things politicians should be talking about and creating policy for is revamping the education system in this country to where what is focused on is what actual jobs are going to be needed as technology replaces certain jobs.
Right.
And, I don't want it to be Big Brother where, the state tells you what you're going to do when you grow up, like happens in some countries, but at the same time, not creating the educational mechanisms that give us enough workers to have good-paying jobs that actually allow our country to be healthy both financially and as well as, I don't want to say militarily, but
right.
Security-wise. Is crazy that we're not
right.
super aggressive about doing so.
We got to close it out, Brian, but a lot of those jobs, too, are right down the road in the Valley of the Sun. That Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company is building three plants, from what I understand. So it's going to be a big deal here in Arizona once those open up.
Yeah. I mean, billion-dollar facilities.
Yes. All right. I can close it out if you want, and you just enjoy life in the bunker. If you're not going to be here next week, though, right? You're going to be here the week after.
I'm not going to be able to make it next week, but I will definitely be there the week after.
Right on. Always good to hear from you, Brian. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. We'll be back with more on Speak Out in a moment. A little more Kenny Wayne Shepherd as we go to break. Right here on Speak Out. Here is Last Goodbye, one of my favorite Kenny Wayne Shepherd songs. Back in a moment. Stay with us.
No lies. No. This is my last goodbye.
No, that is not Stevie Ray. It is Kenny Wayne doing his version of Houses Are Rockin'. All right, on tomorrow's show, we have District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould with a special guest, Steve Mikoski. It's the anniversary of the 17th Amendment tomorrow. So we're going to talk about that and its impact on the Constitution and, of course, the great United States of America. On Speak Out 2.0, Laurie Gannett from Mojave Community College will be on, along with Gail Moscato, talking about the Positive Pause Program, PPP. I like that. All right, I'm headed to Kiwanis. I'll see you tomorrow. God willing, and the creek don't rise, right? And Speak Out will be on tomorrow, again, at 11 a.m. We'll see you then.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.